of everything that has taken place this morning, it's been a forerunner to the word that the Lord has given me to share with us today. From the testimony.
I guess we serve a good God. When you don't have one of these little things, he gives you one. I don't know what it is, but it keeps moving. Oh, it's recording. Okay. Made me forget where I was.
From the testimony.
From the testimonies this morning of the young couple coming to the marriage conference and God speaking and revealing to them the things that they had not heard. From the songs that the men had chosen to sing, I can't go back.
Yes, Lord.
And then the emphasis, I won't go back to the way I used to be. Before your spirit came and changed me.
Yes.
We have been renewed, changed. Before, because of the sin of Adam, we had fallen under the curse of sin. But when Jesus came, he brought the opportunity for us to be renewed. We had to confess our sin, believe it in our heart, speak it with our mouth, that Jesus is the Son of God. If we did that, he promised us that we would be filled with a new spirit. Thing about it, though, he didn't say the old one would go away. So we have in us the evil as well as the renewed good. And it will be that way until we die and leave this earth. So don't ever say, I am completely free. We're not completely free. We are completely free from the bondage of sin.
Yes.
But in us is a flesh. And that flesh represents Satan. And that flesh is dedicated, committed to destroying us. Does not want us to receive the final salvation that God has promised, to be with him eternally as we leave this earth. Satan has authority to claim all who would decide to go with him and to serve him. Just as that group of angels who followed him when they fell. But let me give you some background. I get accused of being a teacher, and I am, I guess. But let me give you some background, and you might want to take a note or two, because this, I haven't heard this too much. And it has to do with words. You know, I've heard this thing about chicken and eggs. What comes first, chicken or the egg? Well, we know in the beginning that had to be something. Well, I'm not going to answer it because I can't answer it. What came first, the chicken or the egg? You say, well, the chicken came first because he had to have an egg. Well, where did the chicken come from? Chicken comes from eggs. Well, say, God made the chicken first. And then he gave the chicken the ability to have eggs. Well, I don't know that to be true. See, my Bible doesn't tell me that. I have to infer that from someplace. And what I infer depends upon a lot of things. It depends upon the experiences I have. It depends upon the training I have. It depends upon my biases. It depends upon my ambition. It depends upon my thoughts. It depends upon what I plan to do when I get an egg. All of that comes to bear on my decision. And ultimately, the decision is mine. It's yours. Now, you decide what comes first, the chicken or the egg. And you can't say someone is wrong because no two of us have the same set of experiences, backgrounds, training, biases, likes, dislikes. That's the same thing we bring to words. Words in and of themselves mean nothing. Now, don't let me get recorded saying that, because a lot of people will hear that and they'll say, well, he's wrong. Words do mean something. Words in and of themselves mean nothing. What do words do? Words enable us to describe and to identify and to label thoughts and events and circumstances that have taken place. What comes first? The word or the thing that took place? And you bring the same experiences to the words that you bring that I just talked about. Your ambitions, your understandings, your teachings, your biases. Country girl won't believe an egg is the same thing as a city boy. City boy says that's just something you eat. Country girl said, oh, that's what the hen lays, and that's what we have to collect, and we don't want the rabbits to eat. Is the rabbit or the fox? One of them eats the eggs. That's that. Where you come from affects what you believe and what you bring to a word. Now let me get to words, I believe. See, our thoughts, our behaviors, what we do, those are the things that we decide and are the results of the power that we have through Christ Jesus and through God to do. The words describe those things. The words identify those things. I asked some people, I said, what is mercy? And they started to tell me, mercy is when you, and you know, and then they told me, mercy is when you show some kindness to somebody. Well, I had to tell them, what is kindness? They say, well, kindness is when you are good to. I said, well, what is good? You see, words take you to a place where you can understand something that has happened as a result of power. That power, we sometimes use a word called inspiration. And for us believers, we say inspiration from God. For those who are not believers, it is inspiration from Satan. Power to do, power to think, power to act. And it's those thoughts and actions that are described by the words in the Bible. Let me share some with you. In chapter 5 of Galatians, well, back up before I do that. There are two things to remember. One is, and this is review, you all know this, that when we are renewed, a portion of us is renewed. The renewed portion is committed to following the leaning, the leading, the teachings, the guidance of the Spirit of God that has been deposited in us. That's called the new man. That's a review that ain't new for nobody. The old man that has not been completely renewed is still there. That's called the natural man or the old man or the flesh. Paul in Galatians wrote about and referred to the flesh when he wrote to the Galatians. Paul had been to Galatia and he had taught and he had established churches and they were excellent people. They had supported him. They had listened to his words. They were believers, Gentiles and Jews. And they were following Christ. They had accepted Christ and they were on their way to glory. Some Jews came in and began to teach contrary things. For instance, the Jews began to say, in addition to Jesus Christ, you need to be circumcised. Yeah. The Jews came in telling them that Christ was not all the way, but they had to have a combination of the law and Christ. That was their way of getting in. As they got in, they would then completely try to eliminate Christ from it. Paul found out about it. He wrote this letter. And in this letter, he's saying to them, these people are coming in and they're teaching you some things. And I'm not spending all the time with what he said. I'm focusing on one little part of it. He said to them that he reminded them that when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, your spirit was renewed. You are supposed to follow the leanings of that renewed spirit. That process we call justification. And in and over time, as we give ourselves completely to the leading of the Spirit, we then place the flesh in the background. But it's still there. Satan's job and these Judaizers came in saying, you are still flesh. And there are things that you must do according to the law. And we know that the law had no saving grace. So by grace, these folks are renewed. By law, they're bound. All of that's in one body. And the scriptures say there is a war going on in that body. The flesh wars against the spirit. And as long as they are in us, gonna make no difference because I decide. The flesh doesn't decide. The spirit doesn't decide. I decide. God gave each of us the will and to make the choice. Paul says, if you live by the Spirit, you will inherit the kingdom of God. Yes. That's what he says. Verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Yes. And all that means, I shouldn't say all, what that means is choose to follow the unction and the lead of the Spirit. Now, how do you do that? Yeah. Hello? How do you do that? Here's what I suggest you do. Understand that the power of God is in us. God wants only the best for us. God has identified what is good for us. He speaks to us when we inquire of him through prayer and meditation, and he gives us direction to go. If we believe that, after we pray and ask for direction, whatever comes to us, assume it comes from God, and then do. The Bible tells us that when we do that, we usually will have fruit of the Spirit to result.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah? Yes. That's what it says, fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, yes. faithfulness, yes. gentleness, yes. self-control.
Yes. Yes.
Against those, the law has no authority and no power.
Yes.
Those words describe powers that determine the behavior that we show and the thoughts that we have as a result of listening to the inspiration of God. I declare, I don't know, is that clear?
Yes.
It's so clear to me that it feels like I'm not making it clear. But it's so clear to me. The inspiration of God comes to us. It has nothing to do with words. The words are in here to identify and to describe the behavior that results from us making the decision to follow the power and the inspiration. If we make a decision to do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do, we will love. We will have joy. We will show peace. Now, I'm not going to ask you what love, joy, peace are. That's the next thing. What are these behaviors? I mean, I got them written down here, but I'm not going to go through them all. There it is. Share a couple of them. Love. Now, this isn't out of a dictionary. You know, it's not dictionary.com. Somebody said that this weekend, and I heard it. It doesn't come from any one place. It comes from a lot of reading. And you know, when you get a PhD and you work at a university, you take some liberties to decide that you are an authority and can make some decisions. And sometimes you make decisions that are contrary to what's out there, but because it's yours and you have some documentation for it, you write it and you follow it. And if somebody questions it, you say, here's my documentation. That's called a dissertation. Well, that's what I've done with this. I've taken some liberties. But love and joy, I've boiled it down to this single thing. Love and joy are constant delights in God. Now, you can talk about a whole lot of other things that love and joy are, but when you boil them right down, it's delight in God. Delight in what God has done, delight in what God has made, delight in a whole lot of things, but that's what love and joy to me are, constant delight in God. Peace. What is peace? Peace is an amicable relationship with others and with God. No battles, no dissension, no conflicts. It's a situation that is amicable between me and you, me and God. Okay. Gentleness, long-suffering, which is patience. I said that's a sweetness of one's temper. It's easy, you are then easy to reconcile differences that you have with others and when you have been wronged. Gentleness and sweetness. A gentle spirit. You can hardly hurt one who has a gentle spirit because it's like bounce. What you say, the one who has a gentle spirit understands that it's coming from out there and not from in here.
That's right.
And it's only what's in here that can hurt you. What is out there can't make you. Oh, it might cut your skin, black your eye, damage your reputation. You know, you can't control people's lives, but it's out there. It's what's in here. What did Paul say? He says, it's what's in a man's heart. In Matthew, it says that what is in a man's heart that defiles him? It's not what's out there. It's not the food that I eat or anything else that goes in my mouth that defiles me. It's what's in my heart that comes out that defiles me. So, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Let me tell you something about faith. You have to believe. Faith is what I said. Faith is belief in what we profess and what we promise to others. What we profess and promise to others. That's our faith. Your faith is not my faith. You have a measure. I have a measure. But I have done something to increase my measure. I have studied the Word of God, and I understand as He speaks to me and makes revelations to me, clarifies to me, gives me understanding, spirit, and wisdom. And so my faith grows. That's what we all are supposed to do. He gave us this word to study. The question I ask you, where do you study the Word of God? With whom do you study the Word of God? How are you growing in your knowledge and understanding of the Word of God? Do you just come Sunday mornings and sit, and whatever the pastor says is what you get, and that's all you get until the next Sunday when you do it? I'm not making a case for Sunday school, although I am, because we have limited number of opportunities where we provide study for groups and one another. But we ought to study the Word. And as Rick Washington said, study doesn't mean read.
That's right. Yeah? That's right.
It means read, question, discuss, differ, reconcile, read again, and see if you have the same understanding. We do that in men's Bible study on Monday nights at 8 o'clock. We do it on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock in Sunday school. If you aren't studying the Word of God anywhere, don't say, oh, I'll get to it. I'll do it. You could die in a minute. And the extent of your knowledge will be ended. I mean, you're going to still get in heaven if you... But you won't have any crowns, many. Yeah, I don't want to get off on that. So the fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in chapter 5, love, joy, peace, those are powers and inspirations and inclinations that come to us from God through the Spirit that we choose to allow our behavior and thoughts to be influenced by. They come and I decide, I am going to do this and I am not going to do that. Okay? When we do that, we're following the Spirit. And that is what will keep us from walking in the flesh. Okay? The flesh, the alternative. If you do not follow the Spirit, what's the alternative? You are going to walk after the flesh. You're going to walk. You're going to do. You're going to think. It's a matter of which power inspires you that you decide to follow. If you decide to follow the flesh, let me share with you some of what's going to happen to you. For those of us who choose that how we will think and do according to the flesh, first of all, the Bible calls the flesh, it calls the fruit of the Spirit, but it says the work of the flesh. Work means we have to put a little bit more effort into doing this thing. And that signifies to me that it's a little more to overcome what the Spirit offers. So you've got to make an effort to follow the flesh. What happens? What are they? The works of the flesh, as identified in chapter 5. Verse 19, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. If you look in Deuteronomy in chapter 5, verse 18, it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's one of the Ten Commandments. It's number 7. These works of the flesh lead us to commit adultery, fornication for you single people, lewdness for those of you who like to flash and run around half naked and show yourselves and speak in vulgarities. And you see, that's what the flesh wants you to do. That's sin against God. That's what Satan did. And that's what got him thrown out of heaven. He wants us to do it so that we can finally end up with him and those who followed him. So some of the works of the flesh, and he identifies them for us to see. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Then there are some against the first and second commandment. Idolatry, witchcraft, or sorcery. I shall have no other gods before me. Thou shalt make no graven images. We don't make graven images. We don't create idols, but I've seen some young men who polish their beautiful new cars and keep them spit shined, and if you touch them or lean on them the wrong way, you've got an argument with them. I've seen people steal and fight and almost kill because somebody has stepped on their shoe and they had a Michael Jordan shoe. I've seen people take their money, and because they have so much of it and they believe nobody else has that much, I've seen them take that money and they didn't want to put it all in banks. They hid it in shoe boxes and they put it in pillowcases under the pillows, under the pillows. We make idols out of things, and we then behave according to the degree of the amount of that idol, or the extent of that idol in our lives. That's making gods. That's creating idols. I was in Hawaii years ago. They were carving trees and making lamps and tables and stools, putting faces on them, painting them. The pagans would take them and they would use them to worship. I bought some. I brought them home. I poured oil on them. I sanctified them. I don't worship them. I sit on them. You make idols out of what you want. You make them gods. We have a God who made us. They have gods that they make. Yes. And that is the difference. They have wood and clay and steel and stone and everything else. All right. No idols. No sorcery. Then there are some of these works of the flesh that are directed against each other, against us, against our neighbors. This is Paul was saying to them. He's saying, hey, there are some of these things in the flesh, these works of the flesh that I want you, or Paul doesn't say it, but these are the things that when you choose to do them, they'll work against, not necessarily sinning against the commandments of God, but you sin against your neighbor. Man, I put a whole lot of them in that category. Hatred. Contentions. I have differences with him. I don't have too much to do with him. No, we can't put him in there. He thinks the wrong kinds of things. He does the wrong kinds of things. I saw him do something that I really don't approve of. We have contentions against people. Jealousies. Don't need to go into that anymore, do we? Or do I? Jealousies and envy. We usually think of those things as being, men think of them as being associated with women. Oh, sure, not necessarily. But I said men tend to think of them as associated with women. And men generally don't get jealous about another guy's shoes or another guy's clothes or another guy's hair or another guy's dress or another guy's whatever. Paul doesn't envy me because I'm tall and he is. Envy, jealousies. These are behaviors that the flesh wants to direct us to show and demonstrate towards our neighbors. Get it? Now, that's the way it is. These are the behaviors and the thoughts that the flesh wants us to listen to it as it directs us. Oh, and let me tell you, the Spirit is in us and speaks to us inside. The flesh is in us but has to speak to us from things that are outside. So the flesh has to use circumstances and places and things that we can perceive with our senses. We have to see it, smell it, touch it, feel it, taste it. And then we have to decide, oh, I'm going to do that when we follow the flesh. It is hard to follow the flesh. We have to make a great deal more effort to sin than it is to produce the fruit of the Spirit. God speaks to us and God wants good things from us. And when God speaks to us, we do. I love Elder Jackson, who says frequently, I'm waiting for him to do something. To meet me somewhere and he doesn't show up. Well, I know something's happened. I wait and he finally comes, and his thing to me is, I was coming, Elder, but the Holy Spirit told me to go wherever to do such and such a thing and then come to you. He listens to and follows the lead of the Spirit of God. And generally when he does it, he has produced some fruit of the Spirit. He has made somebody joyous. He has, you understand my point. Okay. The works of the flesh, another one. Another one that is associated with our neighbors. Demonstrating wrath. He calls it outbursts of wrath. We try to show people how bad we are, and sometimes it gets so bad that we end up murdering folk. We murder their reputations. We murder their names. And sometimes we even murder their person. That's what these thoughts of the Spirit do for us. And then there are some that we direct on ourselves. Okay? When Satan can bring us to a point where we no longer value ourselves, he knows then that we don't value the Spirit of God, and that if he leads and guides us by the flesh, he'll get us. One of them is drunkenness. I also put with that addiction, because we're replacing alcohol drunkenness now with drug drunkenness, I call it. And they call it addiction. Okay? And then that isn't all of the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are so numerous that he has to end the statement like this. Where is it? In verse 21. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Well, my God, and the like. Whatever things are like that. Well, here are some that I've just thought about. Bitterness, pride, anger, gossip, cruelty, rage, wickedness, arrogance, unforgiveness, lying, confusion, ignorance, and on and on and on. The flesh seems to have an unlimited array of behaviors and choices that he can offer you. And you have to remember that if you follow the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Right? Well, Michael will tell me now, I've run over my time. But I want to close with this one statement. And the statement is in Galatians 6, verse 7. And it sums up all of this. Paul summed it up to the Galatians. He said to them in terms of whether or not you're going to follow the law, in addition to being a Christian, Paul says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he also will reap. So you can fool me and say you're a Christian, and when you're out of my sight, you can follow the leaning of the flesh. God knows it all. So as I close, please, let me just simply say, study the word. Choose somewhere. Choose someone. If it could be just you or two, you or one person. But study the word of God. Don't be content to come here on Sunday morning and that's all you get. Because some of us miss some Sundays and then we don't get anything. So get with the group. Exchange. Study. Don't tell me you're too old to do it. And but two people in here older than me. If they weren't women, I would call their names. Look, see, I threw a stick in among the dogs. Father in heaven, we thank you for a merry heart. We thank you that you say it does good like a medicine. Lord, I pray that in trying to deliver this message in a way that is not threatening and is not pompous, but as clear and as clear as I can make it, clear as you can make it through me, let the people hear. Let them be moved to receive, and let them filter it and understand it according to their purpose, and let them use it. I pray that you will move everyone who is not studying your word to take advantage of opportunities to study and to develop understanding. I pray you will give them spirits of wisdom that will allow them to make choices that will result in behaviors that are fruit of your spirit. Bless and keep us all. And as we leave this place, Lord, we commit ourselves to serving you. Lead and guide us by your spirit, and let us do all the things that you would have us to do. We give you all the honor, all the glory and praise as we do it through and in the name of Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Is there anything else that we need to do?